blessing to have Brother DeLong here. He's just he's an enjoyable man to be around, and his spirit and his attitude is always up, always good, and so certainly enjoyed having him here already and looking forward to tonight. I don't have with me on the card who is singing tonight. Who's up? Anybody know who's up? I'm sorry. Brother Hilton Bettle, you're up tonight? All right, good. Come on, man, and sing for us. That'll be a blessing. Brother Aaron and his wife, Ruth Ann, and their children going to Romania. And so we'll hear tonight from the Hilton Bettles, and that'll be a blessing. All right. Yes, sir. Twins in the nursery. Amen. So that's good. So, of course, y'all know Brother Hilton. This is Brother Charles Hilton Bettle's son. Okay. We had Mark here the week before your dad. And Brother Mark and his wife just gave birth to number 7. Right? Just gave number 7 now. So you don't get around the Hilton Bettles unless you want. You need a microphone?
I'm just going to talk just real quick.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're going to do something a little bit different, kind of like children's church style. So we're not going to sing with the piano. But we want to sing Jesus Loves Me in English and then sing it in Romanian for you. So you can kind of get an idea what it's like in Romania. But I'm thankful tonight that Jesus loves me. And I'm thankful tonight that Jesus loves the entire world. And that means here in America, but also means in Romania and the othermost part of the earth. And so we're going to do our best to sing for you. And I hope it'll be a blessing.
Yeah. Check it out, boys.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, to my you best day.
Pretty good singing, huh? Yeah. Who wants to hear me sing?
Yeah.
I may have a song or two. I don't know. I'm tone deaf and dumb, my wife says. So I got a missionary song here. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Be a missionary every day. Learn to eat whatever comes your way. If it's beetles in your corn chips or roaches in your Coke, never let it bug you. Just chew it till you choke. Be a missionary every day. Learn to eat whatever comes your way. It may be warm and fuzzy, and sometimes it still moves. You don't need a skillet. Chew it till you kill it. Be. That's what I do in my spare time, write music. You won't remember one thing I say tonight, but you'll remember that. Amen. Boys, you hit a home run. You did a good job on that. Praise the Lord. So, can you boys sing? You front four there, can you? Kenny, what? We're not going to let you, okay? Mother Bobby says, get them happy when you talk about money. They'll feel better when you take it, amen? So I heard one preacher preach, you know, don't preach, and you know, people get fussy and preach about money, and you know, and another preacher said, well, God will take fussy money as long as we will with happy money. So but we're going to talk about giving to the Lord tonight a little bit, okay? I want to let you know, as I told the preacher this morning, it's a heart thing. You know, and if you love the Lord, you'll give. That's just, you know, yeah, and I'm telling you what, how many like to eat ice cream in here? Amen. How many like to eat blueberry pie like I did today? And you know, it tastes pretty good when you eat it. You know, and for some reason, I always want more. If we'd only think of it this way, when you learn to give to God, it gets better and better and better. And I am reaping today from what I started giving back in the 70s and 80s. And I'm telling you, it would scare you. And you would say, that's not true. Well, it is. But I'm not going to talk about me today. Let's talk about the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to our Bibles tonight. Let's do a couple things here. Let's go first of all back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And as we go there, I had a great meal today. Preacher, I want to thank you. That blueberry pie was about 1,000 calories. I think that pecan that you have was about 2,000. That's why I got ice cream of mine to make it even. Amen. But they fed me good. I appreciate that. And appreciate the hotel room, the breakfast, the food, and appreciate the spirit of the church. And it's an honor for me to do this, and it's a privilege. And I just want to point out a couple things here. Let's look at the first five verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Just by way of introduction, I'm not going to preach this tonight, but I want to set the table with it. I want you to see this. Moreover, brethren, we do wit, or to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, I want you to watch this. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of the liberality. The Bible says in verse 3, for their power, for to their power and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us in much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us. Now, this is what I got underlined. By the will of God. This is God's will to do it this way. Let's see what was going on. You know, let's look what was written aforetime and see what was taking place here. The Bible here, look, I want you to see the preciousness of their example. Look at verse 2. It says they were in great trial of affliction and they were in deep poverty. You know, when they were in that affliction, they gave with joy. So if you don't think you got it going on, give anyway. Amen? Now watch this. It's not what you have. It's what's in your heart. And nowhere in Scripture, and I want to challenge you, did God has ever asked anybody in the Bible to give anything at any time unless it's something they already had. I'm going to show you one illustration tonight. Everywhere in Scripture, it's not how much is in your bank account, it's what's in your heart. It's about commitment and your love for Christ. Look at the second thing here, not only the preciousness of their example, let's look at the pattern of their example. Verse 3 says, they gave to their power. That's how they started. And then as they got into this, the Bible says in verse 3, yea, and beyond, they gave beyond their power. Man, I'll tell you what, God does take care of us. Somebody asked me, can you explain? I can't put it in English. But I'm telling you, everywhere I've been, I've watched God bless this. And that money never stops. The investment never stops. It never stops. It never stops. Now, you can give to some, buy a hog, dog, and frog, and plant a well over there in Bulubluville, and buy a goat or a cow off the internet that these missions does, but that's not missions, amen? You know, that's not, I'm not saying those things are bad, but my God tells me, my Jesus tells me to go into the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in and plant New Testament independent Bible-believing Bible churches, amen? Have to be Baptists. I want you to understand that. And these people here, they gave us a pattern. They gave to their power and then beyond. Look at the third thing they gave us, the purpose of their example. Look at verse 4. It says, praying with us as much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They gave us the support so that we could work our ministries and also help the other saints, help the other Christians in planting these churches. And look what he's doing here. We want you to wit or to know the grace of the church that God bestowed. He gave this to these churches of Macedonia to give to missions. And number 4, look at the power of their example. And this is key. This they did, not as we hoped in verse 5, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. In order to do this right, we got to do God's will. Amen? Nobody's going to twist your arm. Nobody's going to get after you. But faith promised missions in this church, giving to the missions in this church, is the strength of this church. And it's how it works. It's how God takes care of it. So I began to look at this a little bit. And I want to give you an example of grace giving. Or as we say here, faith promise giving. And so let's slide back in our Bibles, back to the 1 Kings with me tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to stay there most of the night. And I want to give you a thought about a widow woman here. And I know Elijah the Tishbite is after Ahab and Jezebel. And you pick it up in chapter 17 and verse 2. And the word of the Lord, after he pronounced judgment, that there would not rain, you know, the space of 3 years plus, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee, Elijah, hence, and turn the eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, he did what God wanted him to do. He's the Lord's missionary. He's a preacher. And he's doing what God, and he's following God's will. Now, these missionaries coming here to raise support and need your prayers and support. They're in the middle of God's will. Amen?
Yes,
now, they don't have it figured out yet. I don't have it figured out yet, but we got to live it by faith and do it by faith. But you got to understand, God uses you, the New Testament church. These people can't go down to the bank. They can't go over to the Pentecostal. They can't go over to the Seventh-day Adventist to get support. If they do, I mean, that's wrong. Okay? Amen? We are your clan. You are what we are. We are what you are. We're being pure in this. Now look at verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook, and it came to pass after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, can I stop here for just a moment? So he rose and he went to Zarephath. Does anybody know who the king of Zarephath was? It's known as the city of furnaces. It's where they made glass and they melted steel. And it was a pagan, barbarian place. And does anybody know whose daddy was the boss of Zarephath? You talk about a sense of humor. Nobody knows? I'll give you a Bible lesson. Jezebel's daddy. Isn't that cool? Now, here's right in the middle of God's will. It's one thing to serve God, pronounce judgment, and have the dumpster ducks bring you something to eat, and you drink the water out of the creek, and you're hiding down there. And then God says, now, son, I want you to go right into the lion's mouth. I want you to go right in the lion's teeth. There's wanted posters up over all over Israel for you. Ahab wants your head on a block. So does Jezebel. So I'm going to send you to daddy's place. I've got a woman there that somehow knows me as her personal Savior. She's a widow woman. Oh, she's got a little bag of flour, and I've got a little boy getting ready to die, and a couple sticks to start a fire, make a pancake, eat it, and die. And I've commanded her to take care of you right there. Oh, my. You all thought God's will was found in some missionary book where everybody lives happily ever after. When you begin to study God's Word, and there's some tough things going on, but I'll tell you what, Elijah did what God told him to do. Now watch this, verse 10. So he rose and he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water, all right, in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. And he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Now understand, she knew what she was talking about there. And she was not a Jewish lady. I'll show that to you in just a moment. She was a heathen that somehow got saved. You can understand that. But notice what she addresses him as. As the Lord thy God liveth, I know who you are, Elijah. And I'm on your side. I've not a cake but a handful of meal and a barrel, a little oil and a cruse. Behold, I've gathered the two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according as the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Stepped out by faith. She never went to Bible college. She never heard any teaching on faith promise. God had worked on her heart. And I want to look at four things at this lady and let her apply to us tonight. I know this is a missions church. And I just want to encourage you, keep on doing what you're doing. Amen. And don't be afraid to step out when you think the Lord's going to ask you for a glass of water and He touches your heart to give a little bit more bread. Don't say, oh no. Say, okay, where do I put it? When do I get it ready? So I want you to notice she stuttered a little bit. She fluttered a little bit. She had a question. But at the end of the day, it says she went and did according to the word that Elijah spoke to her. And Elijah spoke the word of God to her. So let's look at four things about this lady tonight. Number one, let's look at her plight. Let's look at an example of faith promise giving and just see how wealthy an individual she was. There's three truths here I want you to see. God can use anybody to do faith promise. He can use anybody, anywhere, at any time to do this. Number two, when God does use someone, physical circumstances are irrelevant. You can be the youngest, the oldest. You can be the tallest, the shortest. You can be the richest, the poorest. That's not about how much you have. It's about your heart. And the third thing is this. When God does use someone, He always takes the credit. Always takes the credit. He always comes through. Anywhere in Scripture, when God asks somebody to give something, they already have it. In this case here, this lady had nothing going on. She had a few ounces of oil left and some almost rotten flour left. And that's not a whole lot, is it? Okay. Let's take a close look at her. Look at verse 9. We'll see how bad a shape she's in here. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Not the Comfort Inn. Not the Holiday Inn Express. Not Five Guys hamburgers. What was at Baker Square today? Man, I got Baker's Round. Amen. It was good stuff. And now there's a widow woman there. You mean not the credit card? No. Social services? No food stamps? No. Nobody's going to give me a charge card to Walmart or Target? No. There's a lady going to be there, and she has nothing. And she don't have a whole lot going on, and that's the one I'm going to use. I want you to listen to me. God wants to use you. Trust Him with that. Amen? Now, I'm going to show you. God looked all over Israel to find somebody to take care of His preacher. Jesus knew about it. And let's go to Luke chapter 4. Keep your hand. Let me prove it to you. Go to Luke chapter 4 for a moment with me. I want to see. Then the second thing is this. Not only her plight, but the second thing I want us to see is her preparations. Her preparations. I was in Haiti. My first missions trip ever back in 1978, I believe. And I went down there and my firstborn son was born. He'd come a week early while I was in Haiti. My wife didn't wait for that, okay? Bill Barons called me in Haiti on a special phone, could hardly hear him, and he was going to tease me because I wanted to have a son first, amen? And he called and said, yeah, Sandy had a baby early, and it was a girl. And for 6 days, I thought I had a baby girl named Diana. When I got to the airport, O'Hare, he picked me up laughing. Hey. My wife's sitting there, and he never told my wife, he told me it was a girl. So they handed me the baby over my wife, look, it's the first time I hadn't seen it. Oh, how's she doing? My wife said, well, she, it's a boy. Barron, you bum, you know. And you think I'm funny. I mean, that guy was crazy. Lord went everywhere He could, all over Israel, to find somebody to take care of His preacher. And you know, don't let you rob yourself of God using you. Don't do that. Boy, I tell you what, I don't like dentists. Is that true? How many like going to the dentist and paying for it? They get in there and drill on you. And I stay out of the dentist chair as long as I can get. But I tell you, that dentist says, the longer you need to get that tooth worked on, or it's going to kill you. You know, it's going to produce cancer. It's going to sour on you. You know, I start paying attention to that dentist. Amen? And I'll go there every time to get a checkup, make sure I'm okay. With this cancer problem I had, I get a checkup every 6 months, okay? And if I hadn't had that checkup or keep it up, now I'm cancer-free, amen? You know, and that's not why I'm skinny. I'm skinny because the doctor said lose weight, amen? Here's my point. I'm going to give you some advice here. All right, don't worry about your plight. What you better worry about is this. As God prepares you, He's going to prepare you to do this. Amen? Now, in her preparation, the Bible says that the Lord looked everywhere but could not find anybody. Look at Luke chapter 4 with me. Look, join me in verse 25. Jesus speaking, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, that's Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath, the city of Zion, to a woman that was a widow. She's the one that had enough faith, and she didn't understand everything, but in her preparation, God had spoke to her heart. God had worked on her. Somehow she knew that He was coming. And everybody's looking for Him. He shows up. She's getting her last bit of food. Her husband's dead. The rest of the family's gone. And they've all scattered to the four winds because of the famine. And she's got two sticks left. See, I can see them under her arm and the baby toddling around there. And I can see her having the cruse of oil. And I can see her having some meal. And it caught Elijah's eye. And he said, get me a drink of water. And she went to get him a drink of water. And on the way there, she said, "Can I?" He said, "I want some of that. I want you to fix me a piece of bread." And she stuttered a little bit. She told him how bad a plight she was in. And she was going to eat that and die. And he said this first. He said, "Let me tell you something that's very important." And he said, "I want to tell you about not only the preparation now, I want you to listen to God's promise if you do what He says. Look at me, please, here. You know, as you keep your hand there, you'll find it with me in verse. I want to go to Philippians chapter 16. Keep your hand there. Can I go to Philippians? Let's go back there real quick. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. I want to help you with something here. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 4 verse 16. It makes this statement. "For even Thessalonica," Paul writes, "he sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account." Isn't that great? Now listen, she didn't know all this theology yet. But Elijah said, wait a minute. Look at verse 13, folks, back in our text. He said, "Fear not, go and do what thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the rain's going to come." Now he was on a mission. God had called him. God was working on him. His end field was supposed to be on Mount Carmel, amen? And he's going to call a fire down, but he's not there yet. But getting him ready, God's got him stopping at the widow's house. And she stuttered a little bit, but she went and she did perform it. She believed the promise. What do you mean she performed it? Well, it says there, she believed it. How did you notice she believed it? She made her way to the kitchen. She did what the Word of God said. And she went in there and she cooked that thing and she poured out all that oil and she got that meal put together and she rubbed that thing, how you ladies do, you know, and she heated that little skillet up or whatever she had and she flipped that thing on there and turned it over a couple times and that little boy's smelling that. Can you smell homemade bread now? Amen. And she takes that thing and she's going to cut it in two pieces, but she cut it in three. And she gave it to the preacher first. He said, "If you give it to me first, when you go back in the morning, there's going to be some more oil in there. There's going to be some more flour in there." How many of you folks believe that? It makes a great Bible story, but when it happens in your life, it may be a different story. I just want to encourage you tonight. She went in and she performed that thing. And I can see her on day two. She gets up like we all would. "Preacher said it would work." I'd be the first one in the kitchen. There's the oil. Hey, there's some more flour in there. And she gets that thing together and she cooks it and she rolls it together and she does that little old pancake thing, you know, like they do down in Mexico, and she laid it on that grill. Thing swelled up golden brown, flipped it over and cut it in three pieces again. Boy, that was good stuff. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you want to do something for God? You won't do it until you believe His promises. Now, see the point here. She went and did it. Now, here's my fourth thought. I think she profited it. What do you mean, she profited? Now, she did not give to get, but she profited. What do you mean? Did she get rich out of it? No, I wouldn't know if she got rich out of it or not, but when I think about this, God met her needs. God is going to meet your needs. Paul says, "Listen, you gave to me once and again, Church of Philippi, Macedonia, you got this grace put upon you. You did it because you was loved for God, and it was God's will for you to do it. But I'm telling you what, does God keep account? He sure does." He wouldn't mention it. He said, "It's going to be added to your account." I love that. I'm glad that's in there. Amen. Now I want you to see this. And so when she did that, and the next day, and the next day, she saw that meal was coming in there, and she profited from that. She survived through that. But I want to look a little closer at our text. Look at verse 15. "And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." Her house. That's not just her. So let's say I'm going to be the widow, okay? All right, could you come up here, brother? You look like, no, you. The guy that went to Tennessee Temple, you're the song leader. What's your name?
Tom.
Tom, you look like Elijah, doesn't he, a little bit? Okay. You sit over here. I didn't say you was, and you look like him. Old, bald-headed like me. Now, I'm going to be the widow woman, okay? Now, you come and I need you, Red. What's your name? Joseph, okay. You come over here and you're going to be my little red-headed son. Stand right there. but you're healthy looking. Help me with my math. So the first day, I'm the widow woman, and I do what Elijah says. And I cook the piece of bread and make 3 cuts of it, right? Give it to you. And the next morning, I get up, and all the supplies are back in the kitchen. Is that good or what? Then I come out the second day and do the same thing, all right? And look at verse 15. Fed her, Elijah, and her household. The clan started showing up. So, Brother Norton, you come up here, and you're going to be my old pot-bellied brother. Bring your wife with you and your daughter. Oh, you, come on. I won't embarrass you. Yeah, right. And he knocks at my door. And I open it. And he says, "Hey, sis, how you doing?"
"Hey, sis, how you doing?"
"Yeah, well..." "Oh, brother, good to see you. Let me say hi to your wife. Good to see you. Hi, little one. Good to see you. Hey, what do you want?" He says, "Well, hey, I've been smelling bread, man. People's been talking in town. You got a house with some food. Yeah, come on in and eat. We got some biscuits in there. Got a preacher. Now, you don't mind sitting around the preacher, do you?" "Oh, come on in then." All right. And so he comes in, and you sit down right there. And Mrs., you sit down right there, and you stand between them. You're one of the kids. All right. And so now they come in, and he's going to feed them. So we're cutting it 3 ways. Okay. And 4, 5, 6. Look at verse 15 again. Her household didn't eat many days. Some scholars say it was 24 to 30 months. I don't think it went on this long. I think it went on about 18 months. This was going on because the place was already dry. So she goes in there and she comes out and cuts that bread 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ways. Amen? And then she goes back there and the next day, is there enough flour in there to feed 3 or 6? Talk to me. Amen. Okay, you come on, bring your clan. All right. And the next day, here comes my Aunt Bob and Aunt Bertha. They're the real deal. Get it? Deal? They're the real deal. Went over some of you blonde-headed people. Knock like a man. All right. Oh, what are you? My uncle or what? You my uncle?
Sure.
You're my uncle and you're my aunt. Oh, good to see you, Uncle Deal.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, Aunt Deal. Good to see you, Little Deal. Okay. Why are you here? Oh, we heard, and you see, your brother's in there, whatever, or my brother, he's you're his uncle too. And anyway, and so understand, he's heard. So come on in. You want to eat with us? Come on in and eat with us. You sit here. You sit right here, okay, Daddy? All right. And then Mama, you sit there and let a little between you. Now listen, we cut it up 3 ways. Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and we feed all those. Look at verse 15 again. And their house did eat many days. The clan ate many days. Now, when I get up the next morning as the widow, is there going to be enough in there to feed 3 or 9? Huh? Huh? And you worry about upping your faith promise. You try to get your calculator out and Texas Instrument or iPhone and figure it. Amen? We got more clan coming in here. Amen. Now, these folks did not know about this illustration. But I want to show you folks, God has got it all worked out. He takes this little lady that had nothing going on. We're never given her name. She was in a bad plight. God had prepared her heart. And she believed the promises of God. And God profited her. Is that great or what? Thank you, folks. You can have a seat. As they go down there to get their seat, let's continue our thought back in 1 Kings chapter 17. And you know, it says there in verse 15, "And her house did eat many days, and the barrel of oil wasted not, neither did the curse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." And he said, listen, that rain is, when that rain starts, it'll stop. But I'm going to take care of you. I don't know how long it was. The story goes, you join me in chapter 18 of the same book there, 1 Kings. The Bible says, in verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering in the evening, Elijah moved up Mount Carmel, the widow and Zarephath in the distance over the horizon. Thousands of people gathered on the mountain. Ahab's got everybody together there and all the devil worshippers. And Elijah says in verse 36, "And the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art the God in Israel, that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word." Was God going to hang him out to dry?
No.
I could see him praying. I can see him pouring the water around that. I can see him putting that bull on there. And I can see that fire coming out of heaven like a spaceship coming right to that little... I mean, a GPS was right there. Bam! I can see that little widow woman and seeing the hearing and the shouting and stuff on that mountain and see that ball of fire come across there. Hear the shout. We will serve the God of Israel. He is God. He is God. He is God. There was a Baal worship that started running out like, you know, mosquitoes from spray. They're getting out of there. Elijah takes care of all of them. And then all of a sudden there comes this little cloud over that sky. Then it says there was a sound of abundance of rain. God's promises are true. Isn't that a great thing? I want to encourage you tonight. If you a faith promise giving, missions giving, you cannot see the other end of the spectrum. You get to see what's here. But can I encourage you? God's promises will never fail. It's a bigger plan than just your giving. He wants you to reach the world. You reach it through the Nortons and the Joneses and the DeLongs and the, I want to call them the hillbillies, but the hitbittles, whatever. And everybody. I don't leave anybody out. I just want you to understand God wants to, yeah, this is how it works. And when you have a heart, like they did in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, they first gave themselves unto the Lord. For this was the will of God. And all God's people said. As you close your Bibles, we finish tonight one little story. And it's about one of my heroes in the Bible, or in our life, my life, Bill Rice. How many's ever had Bill Rice the third preach? And okay, Bill Rice the dad. How many? I was privileged to hear him, and I got to hear him several times. He tells of this story that his daddy was a banker, and as being a banker back in the Depression, there was a farmer in the area who had defaulted because of the terrible weather, and the head banker pulled him in and sat down and met with him. And Bill Rice's daddy was in the office. He was a kind of assistant banker. And what the big banker said, we're going to take your farm away, foreclose, if you don't pay us in the next 6 months or so. And the thing had turned into a dust bowl down there in Texas, wherever they were from. And as they were leaving the bank, the young couple was dejected. And Bill Rice, the daddy, said, now listen, I'm going to come out and see you tomorrow. Make sure you're home. And so the next day he drove out there to see him, and he brought some money with him and said, listen, this will get you through. I believe in you. You're Christian folks. I know God will bless you. I know it's tough. But you pay me back later. But you give this to the bank to hold on to your farm till the thing switches. Don't tell anybody. They stay in there crying. You can't say no. Because I know your family. I know you're Christian. And he rode off. Well, that farmer came in and paid that loan off a little bit the next day and held the bank off. And a week later, Bill Rice's father died of a heart attack. Bill was just a young man. Several years went by, and that farmer got to keep his land, and Bill Rice was called to go to Baylor University, and he had to pay for his first year of school. He's going to sell his horse and his fancy saddle. He's riding across the prairie to go to Baylor. He'd left his family wherever he was at. About a part of the way there, a storm came up. I don't know if it came up on purpose or not. Handfuls on purpose. You see, I'm going to get into that later on in the week. But God's in charge of everything, amen? It's like that little widow woman on the backside of nowhere in Zarephath. God had prepared her heart. And Bill Rice was riding his horse up this little ranch, and he knocked on the door before the storm got to him. He didn't want to get his horse wet or saddle or clothes. And as he knocked on the door, a little old lady came out, and he told her what was going on. He was going to school, and he gave her his name. She said, put your horse in the barn, and you'll come in and eat supper with it, and you'll sleep here. And we won't charge you. Don't worry, Christians, go right ahead. And she told her husband who the young man was, and they looked at each other, that's got to be his boy. That night they fed him a big meal and questioned him, and he thought it was unusual for all the questions, and the mom and dad there feeding him figured out it was the son of the banker that gave him the money. And the next day, when they got ready to leave, he got his horse saddled up, and she said, come back to the house, I've got a poke of food for you. And she fixed him a meal and hung it on his saddle there, and he said, about halfway across there before you get there, eat that thing, and enjoy the meal. He got the baler and he opened that thing up and started eating it. And then there was a letter. It explained this whole story. How his daddy helped them. Now watch this. And God put on their heart to pay for his whole first year of school. Little check in there. It does not happen by accident. It's for real. It's for real. Now listen, when God speaks to your heart, don't say no. Don't say no. Listen to Him, and He'll guide you. Because in my life, His promises have always been true. Amen? He's already tomorrow. You know, my wife heard me preach this one time before, and I said, who could live with more money? I wanted her hand shot up. Yeah. Makes things taste better, doesn't it? But hey, who wants to have God's blessing in their life? That's where it's at. Praise God you got a church that believes in this, promotes this, and I believe God blesses this church, partially preacher, for all the missionaries you support. I believe the prophets, the prophets, the prophets. You don't see it, you don't sense it, but God's hand's here. I believe because you're a preacher, and you folks, I'm bragging on you now, you listen to the promises of God. That lady, every morning, she got up about half afraid. About the week or so in, more people's coming to the house, more clan, and the more she's feeding, the more flowers going in there. It wasted not, it failed not. The moment that cloud came over, it was done. But God was good, amen. He got him through. So I guarantee you, it says in that, if you read that whole chapter, his name was broadcast all across that region, and his God of heaven became the number one man, not the devil's bunch, amen. So God is good at this, is he not? He just wants to use us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You know, I don't know where you are in your life when it comes to giving to missions. I know it was not a soul-winning salvation message tonight, but I just wanted to encourage you with basically one thought, and I use this lady as an illustration, the lady of Zarephath, where, Lord, you worked on her heart. And the Bible is very clear in 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did not as we hoped, Paul writes, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and to us, to that ministry, to missions, by the will of God. I don't know what your plight is tonight. I don't know what that is in your life. But I know God will prepare every heart in here. If you just have a heart that will trust Him and believe in His promises, and you do not give to get, but when you give to the Lord Jesus Christ and His ministries and church planting and outreach around the world, I guarantee you, you will profit from this. Or it may not be money, and it may not be cars, it may not be property, but it'll be a thing in your heart. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And God's just waiting for us. And I pray that we'll be like the widow of Zarephath. I pray that we'll be like the people of Macedonia and Philippi, those churches that just said, you know what, God? You know what, Paul? We believe this. We want to be part of it. And we believe it's God's will. And we love the Lord, and He's worked on our heart. And we want to participate in this year, in this faith promise giving. Pastor Angel.
Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if the Lord, if the Spirit of God is nudging your heart as you've been thinking about the conference and the messages leading up to today and then the messages today. And is the Spirit of God nudging you? And you know, folks, it's not stepping out on nothing. It's stepping out on His Word. He has promised. God is not going to ask you for more than you can do. He's not going to do that. He's going to take what you can do and He's going to multiply it. And give back. And you know that's true. And I just hope that what's already taken place is what He mentioned out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I hope that we've first given ourselves to the Lord. That's the first step. God, whatever you will. So tonight, if the Lord is nudging you, then just submit to His leadership. It might not be about giving. It might be about going. It might be that God is speaking to some person here about leaving someday, moving out of the country to another distant land to preach the gospel of Christ. It all starts with us first giving ourselves to the Lord. Now, would you do that tonight? Would you do that, and an indication of it, would you just come to the altar or kneel where you're sitting in your pew? Would you give yourself to the Lord for this all-important matter? The choir sang, come over and help us. The need is great as time is fleeing fast, and it is. And if you think about being in a village or some place where you've been taught all your life that to appease your God, you've got to throw your child to a crocodile or put a bone in your nose or cut your flesh. And you heard a story about a supreme being, a heavenly Father, who loved enough to send His Son. Wouldn't you say, come over and help us? That's what this is all about. But God, please, would You move in our hearts tonight? I pray that we would first give ourselves to You. Help us not to be fearful. I think of what Brother Malucci preached here Wednesday night. Help us not to be fearful. The spirit of fear is not from You, Lord, but of love and some power and a sound mind. And God, if You're nudging us tonight, help us to step out by faith on Your promise, on Your word. Help us to give ourselves first to You. In this invitation tonight, may that be done in our hearts and lives. I'll thank You for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want just the piano playing tonight. Just the piano. Let's stand together. Would you come tonight? Would you kneel there in your seat if you don't want to come to the front? Would you just give yourself first to the Lord? What is it? Would you do that tonight while we wait? Now's the time.